Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 22, October 18, 2011. Boy Scouts on the air. Greetings, everybody, from good old near St. Louis, home of the St. Louis Cardinals. That's why I'm wearing my red shirt tonight. I wanted to get back here and see them play in the World Series, and by golly, they did it. I am so happy to be home. I missed everybody. Been gone for, it seemed like, ever, and it's really nice to be back here. Gordon West, how are you down in Southern California?
We are here. Gordo, WB608. We're watching the chat room. We've got Julian here talking about D-Star tonight. Susie's minding the controls, so we are good. Go ahead, Bob.
All right. Now, the big question, how is the Smoke and the Solder Boy doing down in Mississippi? George, how you doing? I missed you, man.
Yeah, missed you too, Bob, and doing okay down here. We haven't burned down the shack yet.
Love that shirt.
Look at this shirt. What are you, look at this.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Yeah, my mother watched the show a few times, and she decided I needed a flowery shirt like you guys.
That's great. Well, we're going to have some fun tonight, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about where I've been, because I've had a lot of people ask me. Some people didn't think I was coming back, but I'm here. Unfortunately for you, I'm here. But I've been all over. We were in Venice and all around Italy for a while. But then we came back and here for a week, and we went to the UK, where we attended the National Ham Fest. This is the largest ham fest in England, and it's really fun. I've been there several times before, but they had moved it to a better facility. And by no stretch is it a big Dayton or any of the larger ham fests, but they have a very good turnout and a lot of good dealers. But the main thing is I just love all of you guys in the UK. You just make it so much fun. I have a couple of pictures. If you want to bring a few of those up for us, let's take a look and see what we got, Alex. This is the National Ham Fest, and the Lincoln Shortwave Club puts it on. The ARRL was there.
All right.
Nice booth. Look at that. And we were represented well. This is a fun thing. I think you need this, Gordon. This is the RSGB's trailer that they pull around to schools, and it's well-equipped with all kinds of different radios and antennas they were just setting up. And it's really a great piece called the Fun Bus. There it is, opening up. And they go around and let children talk to the world or talk to the satellites and the astronauts. It's a very educational tool. So that was that's a fun thing. And I always enjoy seeing that at the different ham fests. They have it going, and Carlos takes care of it. All good stuff. And then this is, I don't know why, but our distributor there is Waters and Stanton, and they had this poster of this weird-looking guy. I'm going, oh, okay. And you would be surprised, George and Gordon, how many guys are watching Ham Nation in the UK. So many of them will come up and want to take a picture with me or whatever. We did two workshops there, so that was kind of fun. And this was a kind of a fun thing. We gave one of our new HM12s away, and this is the young chap that won it. So we were happy to have them have a nice ham fest, and we supported it. Then at the end of the show, they said, we have to take you away. And I'm going, yeah, I have a lot of people tell me they need to take me away. Where are we going? So Sarah and I get in the car with Chris Jones, and he takes us over to Lincoln, a wonderful little city, and there was this cathedral, And I'm going, whoa, it's 325 foot tall. It's one of the tallest buildings in England. At one time, it was the tallest building in the world. It was built in, I think, 1150. Think about that, Gordon, 1150.
I was not there.
How? Yeah. How do they get the blocks up there? How do they do that? And I ask that question a lot when I go to some of these things, and they say, well, they put up scaffolding. Sure they do. Look at the gorgeous work in there. It's just beautiful. And I was just in awe of it. But look what's over there on the left side, George. Can you see what's up there in the air? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's one of your favorite things, isn't it?
It is. And they had gotten special permission from the bishop for me to play it. And that's something that you just don't do. I was so honored. So we got to play the organ there. That's a very famous organ. It was built in around 1898 by Father Willis. He was a very famous organ builder in those days, and I got to play that instrument. There's a couple of fun pictures here coming up. That's the console that's kind of hidden away from behind the pipes, and so we got in there and made it happen, and maybe next week I'll get a couple of pieces of the audio from that and let you guys hear it. I don't want to bore you with all of this, but it's really quite thrilling to play an instrument like that in the big hall. Notice, George, I took my favorite shoes, only those were the blue ones.
How did it play?
It was great, of course. They restored it back in about 60, 65. They went all through it. But the thing is, they constantly stay on top of it, and because it's played so much for all the services, so it really plays nice, and it was fun to play. And I was honored. I appreciate that. And all those the pictures that you saw came from Pat. She was running all over with a very nice camera, and I really appreciate her doing that for us. And so there we are with the National Hamfest in the Lincoln Cathedral. The last thing I'll show you, this is kind of fun. I came back here, was here for about 48 hours, got on another airplane and headed to Austin, Texas, where we finished up the rehearsal for WB6 ACU. And that is Joe Walsh. Joe is on a solo tour. No birds, no eagles, no flying things. It's Joe and 8 other musicians. He also has Kenny Wayne Shepherd opening for him. Oh, my goodness, what an incredible time we have. We do this about every 2 or 3 years. That's his playlist, and you'll see it's all of the good stuff. Notice the little handwritten things beside there. That's the kind of guitars that his guitar tech has to tune for him. The Strat, you see that? The Ducey, which is a really favorite of his. Those are all of his guitars for the different songs. And he has to have each one of those ready for him. It's quite a job for a guitar technician to keep these going. Joe had 18 guitars for this tour, 18 guitars he plays each night. And he brought out a very special guitar. He usually doesn't bring this next picture. That middle guitar is a 1958 Les Paul. It's probably worth more than all of our houses put together, Gordo. I mean, all of them.
Really something. Wow.
Yeah, he played it on one song, and it's really nice to see and hear that original Les Paul that he has. And the one in front is also original. There he is, Mark Reese. What a good friend. And he takes care of all of the guitars. And you don't think about that. He's just off to the side of the edge of the stage, and he's the guy you see running back and forth in between each song, giving the guitars to the guys. He's really a great guy. Has to have a tremendous ear. And there is David. This is James Taylor's mixing engineer. And Joe, he's on loan to Joe, as he says. James is not out. So these incredible guys are able to go out and do other jobs. And we had such fun with 32 high-end microphones, of course. And that is Brian Hendry that Cher's mixer. So when Cher goes out, that's the guy that mixes them. So we had some incredible technicians and talent on that side of the console, as well as our good friend WB6ACU. That's his drummer. He had two drummers on this tour. Drew just came off of a long, long tour with Foo Fighters and Chicago and all kinds of things. And Ricky Washington is one of the three backup singers. He's an incredible voice. Oh, man, this guy can sing. Of course, the girls, too. And that's Kenny Wayne. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, an amazing guy. It reminded me a lot of some of the things I heard early on in the rock days. He's bringing it into the country. And there he is, our good friend Joe. If you caught the show last week, we did a cameo. Wasn't meant to be. I was just going to check in and say hi to you, George. He pulled me in his dressing room and says, can I get on? Can I get? So we did a cameo. If you missed it, go back and look at the replay. It's kind of fun. At the end. I think they put it at the end. So, and that's the big PR-48 in the bass drum that give it such incredible low end to the subwoofers and all of that. So I thought we'd bring along a couple of pictures of what happened with me that you could see how much fun it was on both sides of the globe, and ended up with my good friend Joe, and he wanted to say hello to all the Ham Nation guys. That's why we got on last week. So there you are. Hope we didn't bore you too much with all of that.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some really cool things for tonight's show. And I knew about the Jamboree on the Air. Last weekend was a very special weekend for the Boy Scouts. They go out and do their own field day, actually. They set up radios in the field. And, of course, Boy Scouts, you know, they can do this. And I got some wonderful pictures from Doug Cook. I got them just today, I think. It was amazing. We put this together. Doug, I thank you so much. And Doug has a friend with him, Carrie. So let's introduce them. Doug is KD5PDN, and Carrie is KF5IXE. Greetings, guys. How are you from Oklahoma?
Hello. We're doing great here in Oklahoma, and it's great to be on Ham Nation.
Yeah, hello.
Carrie, you just got your general license recently. Is that right?
Yeah, a few months ago I got my upgraded general.
And it looks like you have all kinds of things on your uniform there. So you must be an Eagle Scout. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm an Eagle Scout.
Oh, that's great. Doug, tell us a little bit about what you did and how things worked out this weekend.
Well, we had a great weekend with Jamboree on the Air. And like you said, it is an annual amateur radio event, just like a field day. And well, scouting volunteers around the world on the same weekend set up our amateur radio gear, and we make connections all around the world, talk to scouts in all the countries, and they just have it fun. This year we added a few more things to our program inside our camp. We had the boys got to do an electronic box. We had a little transmitter, and the boys would use radio direction finding gear to find it. A lot of HF connections, contacts were made. We had a neat radio surgery demonstration that I've given that the boys love to see how we remove warts off a pickle. And perhaps the highlight
Wait a minute. We got a guy on here. He kind of has like the patent on the pickle. And we want to come back to that. However, Gordon, didn't that antenna look like barbed wire?
Yeah, you mean it looks like a barbed wire antenna. It looks like it's tuned to satellites. You guys work some satellites as well?
Yes, we did AO-51, and we talked on that antenna you see there. We talked with an astronaut, Mike Folsom, KF5AQG, on board the International Space Station. So for this event, we wanted to pick a symbol that kind of a combined scouting and amateur radio. And one thing scouts can do is pioneering projects, lashing. So that antenna you see there in the foreground, it was all lashed together using proper pioneering lashings. And it was built and constructed using the tape measure beam antenna design. And with that antenna, we made a voice QSO using a 5-watt handheld radio and talked to the astronaut up there from 1,200 miles away.
Oh, my goodness. And no one's going to be touching that on transmit. Not that they'd get burned, but they'd get poked, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, first of all, we have to tell everyone that you are a doctor. So this next little deal about the pickle is kind of cool, and you were there to make sure everything was okay. Tell them the story of the pickle. This is cool.
Okay. Doctors will use a radio frequency to do surgery with. And so I brought an Elman Surgitron unit, which is a radio surgical unit. And with that type of machine, we can do minor procedures, usually on the skin, to remove things like warts and bumps and lesions. The dentists use them. Oral surgeons can use them because they can get back to the back of the throat with, and it's where you can imagine it would be hard to maneuver a scalpel or scissors. With radio beams, you can control it all and deliver precise cuts, and also cuts that won't scar. So as a practice measure, we brought pickles, and we set the pickle up for the scouts, and they got to remove the warts off the pickle using radio frequency techniques there. And by the way, that unit operates on 3.8 megahertz.
3.8?
3.8. 3,800 kilohertz. Is that what I heard the other day?
No wonder we can't talk on that frequency late night. You're in there taking off warts.
Yeah.
that's great. What a great story.
And there's a picture of one of the Eagle Scouts that were they were looking up where the satellite was. So I guess you guys, you take care of things and make sure everything's on target before you point that barbed wire to the sky. So there's a little bit more than just flying by the seat of your pants today. We can look onto the computers and find that out. That's just great. What was your fun event, Carrie? What was the most fun this weekend for you, this past weekend?
Yeah, well, I wasn't able to operate any of the satellites. Wasn't able to make those contacts, but I was able to get on a 40-meter rig that you had set up, and that was actually the last picture that you showed. And we were able to make contacts with several other JOTA stations, and we were able to let some of the other scouts who didn't have a license talk to people all the way around the world, and they really enjoyed that.
That's great. What a great thing. And Doug, does your club, do you primarily work with the Boy Scouts throughout the year? You don't just do a weekend and forget them. I bet you do a whole thing 365 days a year, right?
Well, yeah, we try to do so. You know, we are a traditional scout troop, so we do everything, you know. Next month we'll go climbing and rappelling, you know. We may go caving in the springtime. And so, you know, these boys get to do everything in a traditional Boy Scout troop. And the Whiskey Bravo 5, Boy Scouts America, is the club call sign. But it's used by the troop, and we use it for council events like this.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we know that there's a lot going on with the Boy Scouts, and this weekend was a biggie. If you were able to listen around, do you guys get points? Is there some kind of award for the most stations worked by a troop? Is there anything like that going on?
There's not really so much on contesting. That's our objective with Jamboree on the Air, is to get scouts talking to each other. So we like quality over quantity. And so we try to introduce amateur radio to scouts and let them explore through all the different activities, all the different facets of this hobby of ours.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You guys... You're just very special to spend your time with the boys, and not only just ham radio, but show them what life is all about. That's just great. Did you go out for Jamboree at all, Gordo? Did you do anything? Or, of course, you were.
We were.
You were, Fest, weren't you?
We were at the Pacificon Amateur Radio Convention this past weekend, which was a huge success. And they had their Jamboree on the air right there, and they had tons of kids. And this Pacificon convention really played up big, kids getting into ham radio front and center. And we also got a report from Dan, KC6WOT, who's the Cal Poly Amateur Radio Club. And he says their scouts were talking to Eastern Kiribati, Tango 32 Charlie. They were talking to Alaska. And their best contact for JOTA was South Africa, Long Path. So I think we had some great band conditions all over the airwaves for all the JOTA stations, Bob.
That's great. And talk about Long Path. What are you talking about when you're talking about Long Path, Gordo? Let's explain that. What are you talking about?
Well, that was one of the questions that was asked in the chat room. That is where we would aim our antenna 180 degrees away from the most direct route to South Africa. So instead of pointing from Southern California to the east, we would actually go to the west and go all the way around, the long way around, to where South Africa. And, you know, over the weekend, there was all of the manufacturers were at Pacificon. We had an outside antenna, and you could actually hear the echoes of some of the DX stations coming in both short path as well as all the way around the world, long path, with a decided echo on their signal.
That's really great. It's wonderful. Doug, do you have a regular meeting each month with the scouts or a club meeting for the hams? How do you guys work that at BSA?
Well, many of our members are a member of our local club nearby, the Edmond Amateur Radio Society, EARS. And that's where most of our members that are amateur radio guys will meet, and they work with that club. And, you know, there's a synchronicity between amateur radio volunteers and scouting volunteers. They both have a tremendous dedication to civic service and a wonderful spirit of volunteerism amongst them both.
Oh, that's great. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on here, and you did it in just a drop of a hat today when we got to talking, and I appreciate it very much. And Corey, what's your next big trek with ham radio? You got anything planned that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I'm going to be working on my extra license, and I just got my license about a year ago, and it was through the Boy Scouts that I found out about ham radio, and so I think Boy Scouts is a great organization, and combining Boy Scouts and ham radio last weekend was two of my favorite things. So.
That's great. How long have you been in the Scouts?
Well, I've been ever since I think I was about 6 years old, so about 11 years or so.
And wow. To let them know, we do have a merit badge for this.
All right.
Absolutely. That's terrific. Well, congratulations and good luck on your upcoming extra class. And your credit to scouting, ham radio, and the radio merit badge that leads to the tech license. And for you, that general ticket. Good work.
Thank you. Very good. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on tonight. And we'll stay in touch. Let us know if there's anything going on that we should know. And maybe next year we can do something live, get some video down there, and let the Ham Nation audience see what really goes on some of these.
That is great.
That would be great. And George, did you get to work anything on the Jamboree weekend?
I did not. I had to play this past weekend. I play a little music sometimes, and I was out, so I missed it all.
Were you the other guy in Joe's band? Were you with Joe this weekend?
Yeah, I was the third drummer back behind the curtains.
All right.
What do you play, George?
I'm a drummer.
What instrument? Oh, drums.
Drums.
I mean, yeah. Snare drums or bass drums or kettle drums? Or steel drums?
No, drum set like that right there.
Well, there you are. I see you. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good job, George.
Okay. That's great. Well, Doug and Carrie, thanks so much for joining us here on Ham Nation. And we wish you all the luck. And I'm glad you had a good time this weekend. And we'll see you on the air. Stay in touch, please.
No, that's, we'll be there.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. 73.
Yeah. 73.
From
Guthrie, Oklahoma. How about that? That's wonderful. We want to bring in Don Wilbanks and hear a little bit of news. I've been gone so long, I just sometimes I don't know where we are. And so other than the Cardinals winning, I have to tell you, you know, that was a big deal here. I don't know much else. So let's see if we can get Don in here and he can give us a little news line so we can catch up on the news of Ham Radio.
From the Amateur Radio Newsline, these are the Ham Nation headlines for October 18th, 2011. The FCC's Enforcement Bureau has issued 20 enforcement actions against online retailers in 12 states for illegally marketing more than 200 models of cell phone, GPS, Wi-Fi, and similar signal jamming devices. According to the FCC, these devices have the capacity to prevent, block, or otherwise interfere with authorized radio communications. The FCC's actions are intended to warn retailers and potential purchasers that marketing, selling, or using signal-jamming devices in the U.S. is illegal and that the FCC will vigorously prosecute these violations. After 3 years of negotiation, the Radio Amateur Association of Greece has been given permission for its headquarters club station, SZ1SV, to use the 60-meters channel centered on 5400 kilohertz. SZ1SV is permitted to use 5398.5 to 5401.5 kilohertz for SSB, CW, and digital modes with a maximum power of 100 watts. It's the Washington saga that never seems to end. Light Squared versus the global positioning industry and concerns over interference between Light Squared's proposed national system and users of the GPS system in spectrum adjacent to it. Now there's word that Light Squared may take legal action if it's denied permission by the FCC to build out its planned network. Light Squared claims that any problem would be the result of the GPS product suppliers that knew as far back as 2001 that there would be a terrestrial mobile network operating in frequencies adjacent to their devices. And finally, help in tracking the upcoming launch of the AubySat-1 ham radio satellite is being sought by the Auburn University Student Space Program in Alabama. AubySat is scheduled for launch on October 25th from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. AS-1 is designed to transmit with a power of about 800 milliwatts on a frequency of 437.475 megahertz, plus or minus Doppler correction. The beacon signal, along with telemetry, will be sent using continuous wave Morse code at 20 words a minute. Additional telemetry from the onboard science experiment will use CW transmissions up to 60 words per minute. You can find out more about AubySat by visiting space.auburn.edu. For details on these stories and more, point your web browser to www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. Now back to Ham Nation.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Don. We appreciate Bill Pasternak and the entire crew there that puts all of this together each week on a volunteer basis, and they've been doing it for decades. And I still go back to the Westlink days, Gordo, when Bill started all this. And, man, he spends so much time in bringing us all this news. It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, Bill did a fabulous job up at Pacificon as well, rolling several big seminars, town hall meetings, and he had who's who in his seminars, and it was just, it's such a pleasure to be with Bill Pasternak, and he also had Steve Mendelson all the way from ABC New York City there, and Mr. Mendelson came away with some great awards, including the CQ Magazine Lifetime Achievement Award, so congratulations to Steve.
Yeah, Steve's quite a guy and a longtime ham radio operator, and he was quite an engineer and player at ABC Television in New York. And I think he's retired now, but he's quite a guy. We need to get him on here one of these days. We'll have to do that.
Well, we sure do, and he was very, very happy to receive the award. And we got some email. You want me to tell you the very latest news that came from the chat room and emails over the last month, Bob?
Absolutely. Let's see what's going on with the old mail.
All right, here we go. Mail call. Greg, K-E-4-G-A-K, says that, hey, many ham radio dealers do program a few channels in handhelds. And I also got word from many ham radio dealers that they indeed do spend time with their brand new clients and program a couple of channels. And this is great. The KE4GAK response also says that they have a club program where clubs will set up near the volunteer examination site. And when the students pass the test, they put brochures in their hands and tell them what frequencies are the hot ones for the area. And next time you're ready to bore a hole in the firewall of your new vehicle like Julian was ready to do, Jim of Jim's Engravings, the one that has these great signs over my left or right shoulder, whether you're looking in a mirror or not. Jim says, don't bore a hole. He says most vehicles come with a hole that is stamped into that firewall in case someone wants a manual clutch system. So he said, you just have to look around, but you should find a little round rubber doodad, and you can just knock it right out. Is that what you did, Julia?
Now he tells you.
All right. And back to Bill Pasternak. The K6MYC. Bob, that was one of the first repeaters here in Southern California. That repeater needs a new home, and we're hoping that the American Radio Relay League will accept it. This was Art Gentry's repeater back in the late 50s, early 60s. And the K6MYC needs a ride. So if you have an 18-wheeler and you're going to be in the valley and you're headed toward Newington, we have an assignment for you. Contact me or Bill Pasternak. And finally, Bill Henderson, November 4, Romeo Whiskey Hotel says, I've got a metal roof on my house. Can I use that as a ground plane for my five-band trap vertical? And the answer is, heck yes, you'll have a great signal. So if you've got a metal roof, a five-band trap vertical is in your future. You will have one great ground plane. You do not need to get any radial kit to be on the air big style. That's the news, Bob. Back to you.
You got it. That'll work. Yeah, I hope somebody can help get that piece of history. That was the first repeater, and they're going to put it in the museum up in Newington. That'd be wonderful if somebody can carry that little booger up there. A few years ago, we had we arranged for an AM station that Joe and I put together. Joe had a transmitter and receiver, and I had a truck driver that a friend of mine that from here in the Midwest drove back and forth, and we got it all ferried up to Newington. And if you get to the ARRL headquarters at W1AW, you'll see a fabulous AM station that Walsh donated, and through a bunch of ham radio was able to get that thing up there with a few relays.
Oh, that is going to be super. And Susie tells me it's K6MYK, not 6MYC. That's Mike Stahl. MYK was the Art Gentry call sign. Yeah, so I got square.
You're just thinking of antennas, MYC, right? Yeah. K6MYC, by the way, everybody, is the guy that keeps the whole thing working at M squared. Fabulous antenna engineer all these years, great VHFer. And they have a lot of things going on. George, did you have any emails and things like that while I was gone?
Well, I had some last week. Of course, it was just Gary and I here, and I failed to print out any this week. Although I did get a few suggestions on some future projects there. I got one today on building a tape measure Yagi, and that's something we might do in the future here. And another one using piano strings. So,
there you go.
Yeah. You can build antennas out of almost anything, and I really like that barbed wire one that they had earlier. That would have been a perfect smoke and solder project.
No. You and Jim would have gotten in trouble.
Well, Jim would have got tangled up in it, you know. So.
Well, before we get to smoke and solder, I want to get that ready to go, Alex. But I have had a bunch of guys ask me, what are you using for the audio and all this on Ham Nation? And what we're doing is I'm using an Alesis mixer. This is the little guy right here. This is an Alesis. They call it a Mix 8. And a USB. It has a USB output as well as all the other regular outputs. But this is a wonderful piece of gear. You just plug that little USB guy into your any kind of computer, Apple, PC, doesn't make any difference. Comes an outboard power supply, of course. And you can do all kinds of things. You have three-band EQ. You can record. You can playback. Have all different microphones. Of course, here we're using one microphone. But what a great thing this is. It's not very expensive. And if you want to do any kind of audio through a computer, please, this is the way. These USB microphones and all that, no. The problem is that they're too sensitive. They got a little preamp in them, and they hear everything in the block, not only your room. This is the way to do it with a dynamic microphone, no condensers, dynamic. And boy, you can get some great, great sounds out of this, and it's not very expensive. BSW has the Elises. I think it's around at other places too, but it sure works good. And then we're all using the C910. I thought I had an extra one here. A C910 camera from Logitech. And I think they're like $70 or so. Wonderful high-definition camera. I think all three of us are. Are you using that, George, a C910?
Yeah, I'm using a C910. And it is. It's the best one I've tried. The 9000 is good as well, but I think the 910 is a little better on the color.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Gordo? Are you using the 910?
We are using the 910. We're going to do some experimentation with one that Julian is going to get out here. And this is the LifeCam Studio mic from Microsoft that one of our valued listeners have us to try testing. So we're going to give that a test in just a few more days.
Uh-huh. Here's the camera. This is the 910. I knew I had one. It's not not very big, but boy, it sure works well, and just clips onto the back of your computer, and away you go. And it's high definition. It's just great, and very inexpensive.
We really enjoy the 910 here. The only reason we're going to try this other one to see if it's less susceptible to getting RF into it, because every time Julian transmits, he knocks us off the air. But Julian will be on in a few minutes to explain that.
That's great.
Well, okay. While we're talking about cameras, I thought I might throw in a tip here. The last three episodes, my picture never went widescreen, and I couldn't figure out why, and I couldn't find anything on the Logitech website or the Skype website that would help. And finally, a friend suggested that he had heard that with one of the more recent Skype updates that it broke the widescreen on the 910, and sure enough, he was right. I backed down to 5.3 version of Skype and got my widescreen back. So just a tip there if anyone's having problems getting their 910 into widescreen.
Ooh, great to know. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. The other thing about this Elise is I have one, this one that you're listening to, one channel of it. It's a stereo mixer. So I pan what you are listening to the left side. Then I take the right side. Now, if I have it coming out of the output, not the USB, of course, that's over to the computer. But I take the regular output of the right side audio into the input of the transmitter on the back. Every one of these transceivers has an input on the back. And I go into that bypassing all of the front end mic preamps and so on. It works so good. And then you can use it for all kinds of things. I also use one for receive, but that's for another day because we got to get on with some things. But I wanted to let you know about the Elises mixer from BSW. It really, really plays. One other thing before we get into the smoke and solder. We've been doing some ham meetings. And if you belong to a club, we have had tremendous success. Gordo, George and I are doing ham meetings via Skype. All you got to do is set up a big screen, get a good high-speed internet into that, and some speakers and a microphone, and bingo, you're there. And boy, it's wonderful because it's interactive. And, you know, clubs need a little activity these days, and then it's getting expensive to travel around and timing and all. Nothing to it. We're going to do three of them here coming up another week or so right in a row. So we're happy to do it and bring programming to the clubs. And it could be two people, it could be 2,000. So just remember, you have all of our email addresses. And if we can come and help your clubs, we're here for you. So it is time to get the old smoke a-happening. So, George, it's going to be all yours here. What do you got cooking for us tonight?
Okay, Bob, I've got a little doodad here that I'm building this week. I had some friends try to guess last night what it was, and nobody quite figured it out. So I'm not going to say. We can just watch the segment and see. It's a simple little project. And one that some of us might find useful.
Several years ago, the European Union banned the use of lead in electronic solder. Now, there's still plenty of controversy today as to whether or not lead in solder actually causes lead poisoning. The effects of lead poisoning include high blood pressure, declines in mental functioning, and memory loss. So we're going to build a fumes extractor today to help take the lead out of the air we breathe.
Our kit today is the Mini Fumes Extractor Kit, Jamico part number 2137481. It comes with a charcoal-activated filter like goes in a commercial fumes extractor. And there's a roll of heat-shrink tubing in here. And as well, there's a box. Now, this is a mixing project. So we've got a little maker shed box here, and this is almost identical to an Altorch tin, slightly different. The heart of the kit is the 12-volt fan, of course, and along with the fan, we've got a couple of guards for the blades. We've also got a little coil of wire, and in the bag here, we've got a pair of 9-volt battery clips, 4 9-volt batteries, and we've got a 7812 12-volt regulator, and a mini switch that we'll use to turn the unit on and off with. Now, we'll need to mark both sides of the box where the fan should go, and I decided the best way to do this would just be go inside around the blades and make some marks so that we can see what we're doing. Need to mark a couple other spots on the box, too. Let's mount the power switch up here, so we'll put a couple of marks there. And let's mount the regulator down here below the fan. We'll drill the hole for the regulator. And then we'll use this little saw to cut a slot out for the power switch. We've got lots of jagged edges now, so we'll use this little grinding wheel with the Dremel tool to remove those. We moved outdoors now because we're really going to make a mess. Let's use this cutoff wheel with the Dremel tool to make a crude circle around the box. Let's flip it over and do the other side of the box now, and we'll try to get a little closer to our circle mark this time. These holes are far from circular, so we're going to put out a sanding wheel now and really have some fun. Boy, look at those sparks fly. We've got a good hole drilled through our cabinet now, and it's kind of skin up from all the work. At this point, you might want to paint it if other people are going to be seeing it. However, nobody's going to see this but us, so all I'm going to do on this one is take a little aluminum paint and paint over the scratches just so that it doesn't rust. We've got a good hole drilled through our cabinet now, and our first part to mount is going to be the power switch. And rather than drill two more holes into the cabinet, what I'm going to do is solder it in. So we'll take a little of our soldering paste here and put that on the cabinet and on the corners of the switch and tin those and then solder the switch in. Now we'll use a heat sink in the process of soldering to the switch so that we don't get it too hot and melt the plastic in it. This didn't look quite as good as I had hoped, but I believe the switch is in there good, and it feels like it is. It toggles back and forth smoothly. Now would be a good time to stop, and let's draw a schematic and look at how we're going to wire this up. We'll put the 2 9-volt batteries on here. The long legs are the positives, and we're going to connect them in series, so we'll connect one wire
from the positive of one battery to the negative of the other battery. Now, the short legs are going to be the negative, so we'll run that down here to the bottom. And the positive will come off the positive of one of the battery legs. And there'll be 18 volts between these two since they're wired in series. Next, we'll put in the power switch here on our positive lead so that we can turn the fan on and off. And it's before the regulator so that it's not drawing current except when it's being used. Our regulator is a 7812 12-volt regulator. It has three leads. The first lead is the input voltage. The center is the negative or ground. And the last leg is the 12 volts output. We connect from the negative battery terminal to the center lead. And we connect from the other post of the switch into the input lead of the regulator. Now we'll have a little fan out here on the side. Please excuse my drawing skills. And it's a DC fan, so it has a positive and a negative pole on it. Our negative battery lead goes into the negative pole. The output from the 12-volt regulator goes into the positive. When we turn on the switch, our 18 volts feeds the input of the regulator, which outputs 12 volts to the fan. Let's wire everything together and test it before we mount it. Let's test our fumes extractor now to see if it sucks. The regulator gets a little warm, but we're going to mount it to the case. I've mounted the regulator, and now we need to mount the fan, and there's a little arrow here on the side that points the direction of the airflow, and we want it to flow out the back of the case. We're going to put two grills on here. One will go on the rear to keep us from sticking our fingers in the blades, and the other grill we'll put on the inside of the case over the fan blade so that the filter material doesn't come in contact with them. We've got all the electronics mounted, so now all we need to do is cut a piece of this filter material to go over the fan. Now, this is the same material that's used with commercial fumes extractors. Let's melt a little solder now and see where the smoke goes.
Look at that.
Looks like it works.
Wow.
The regulator we used in today's project was a 7812, and this is part of the same series of chips that we used in the Ham Nation regulated power supply in a previous episode. In that case, the chip had a variable voltage control on it. The one we used today was fixed at 12 volts, and they also come in a variety of other voltages and other current ratings. Now, normally you'd have capacitors on the input and output of these chips to help keep out spikes and garbage from your power supply. These weren't necessary in this project since it was just feeding a fan, and a fan's more or less immune to that type of problem. There it is.
That's really super. That's great.
I love it. That is great. Yeah.
That has a lot of uses.
Yeah, I've built those before using a small cake pan and a box fan, and just put a piece of that filter material over it. Works great. And, you know, a lot of the solders today don't smell as pleasant as the rosin core that we used to use. And that kind of helps keep the nose in shape a little bit when you run it through that filter. Now, next week, we're going to use some of this stuff right here. And, Bob, I know you know what that is. I've already used the steel wool on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Double-sided single-sided?
This one is a single-sided one. We're just going to start out with the basics of how you would burn your own PC board and show a couple of things in there. And then in future episodes, we're going to go a little more into detail on making it look a little more professional.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much for doing that. And when I was out on the road with the Grateful Dead or the Who, they could have used that fan for a lot of other purposes, George. Did you know that?
Yeah, it takes smoke out of the air.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. Well, that's wonderful. We always enjoy what you're doing. It's so good, and it's done so well. We want to do a little thing here at the end of the show with Julian. Julian is N3JF, and he's got some ideas about D-Star. So let's see if we can slide him into the master's chair in Costa Mesa. And it's all yours, Julian. How are you?
I am just fine, and a pleasure to be here on Ham Nation. I've been a longtime watcher, and so I'm happy to be here. So today we're going to be talking. A little bit about D-Star. First of all, a little bit about me. I'm a ham radio operator. Obviously, I've been a ham since about the.
He just unplugged your microphone. We're not hearing your audio. What did he do to you? Gordo, you unplugged him. Now, don't do that. You never know what's going to happen in Costa Mesa. You're going to have to get out his pickle, George. That's what he needs, is to get the pickle fired up, see what's going on.
That may be what happened.
Oh, golly. Well, that's too bad. Because Julian had some really nice things about D-Star. Well, if we don't make it, we'll do it next week because we have a lot of things about D-Star. You're going to be on 40 meters tonight, or are you going to be on 20? Do you know, George?
I think I'm going to try both of them. I don't know which one I'll have the most luck with. 7204 here, I usually hear a lot of shortwave interference. But maybe the band's a little cleaner tonight. There's not all that lightning out there, and we can get on both.
Yeah, it's pretty clear here, so we'll fire up and see what we got going there. And then I think Bill, K5LN, will be up on 14204. Is that where they're going to be, 204? Is that where he was going to hang out? Do you know?
I believe so. Yeah, you're back.
Are we back on?
Yeah, there
and
we go.
By the way, no Echo Link tonight. Tommy's out of town, so no Echo Link this week.
All right, Julian, it's all yours, man.
Okay, I don't know quite what happened there.
You transmitted. That's right.
Hey, it's not my transmission. It is Georgie's shirt. I absolutely guarantee it. So anyway, what I was saying is that I'm an extra class license. I'm a self-confessed computer geek and proud of it. By day, I'm a police officer, and by night, I'm an avid photographer and videographer. So as far as ham is concerned, I've worked pretty much every digital mode from, thanks, Gordo, from Morse code to packet to APRS, AMTOR, PACTOR, RTTY, LMNOP, a little XYZ as well. So, but until last week, I'd never worked D-Star. So what is D-Star? Well, D-Star stands for Digital Smart Technologies for Amateur Radio. It was developed in Japan by the Japan Amateur Relay League as an open specification to allow digital communications using both voice and data. So far, only ICOM has implemented D-Star into their radios, like this handy talkie, the ICOM IC92AD.
Don't transmit.
Oh, I will try not to transmit on it. Basically, the D-Star system is a series of repeaters that are linked together either by traditional RF radio frequency means or by the means of the internet or by both. What this means is a ham radio operator transmitting on his ICOM 92AD, say in Chula Vista, California, could have a crystal clear conversation with another ham radio operator using his handy talkie in Moscow, London, or even Australia. And the funny thing is, it actually works. But first, you got to get on the air, and that can be a little confusing. Now, you can work simplex on D-Star just like you can on any VHF or UHF radio, but the real fun is on linked repeaters. And for many, knowing what to program into your radio can be quite confusing. For example, not only do you have to program the repeater's output frequency and offset like you do on a regular FM repeater, but you also have to program four call signs. Yeah, the first one is my call. That's really easy. In my case, it's N3JF.
Great call.
It is a great call. Thank you, Gordo. The second call is your call. And that's actually the call sign of the station that you're trying to reach, or if you're not really concerned about who it is you're trying to talk to, you can just put in CQ, CQ, CQ. The next one is RPT1. That is the cosine of the local repeater that you're using to make the conversation. RPT2 is the cosine of the destination repeater. So in addition to each repeater will have at least one and up to four ports available to it. By convention, port A is 1.2 gigahertz, port B is 440 megahertz, port C is the 2 meter, and port G is the internet gateway. Who you want to contact, where they are, and how you want to contact them determines what program or what you program into your radio. For example, you can talk to a friend or call CQ on Simplex. You can talk to a friend or call CQ on your local repeater. You can call a friend or call CQ on another band on your local repeater. You can call your friend or a CQ on another repeater in another distant location on the other side of the world. You can even link entire groups of linked repeaters together on a reflector and potentially talk with literally thousands of ham radio operators. And you do all of that through the correct programming of those four little call sign fields. It can be really, really confusing. But the good news is, there's help. A couple of websites to definitely look at if you're new to D-Star is the dstarusers.org website. This website lists all the stations heard on D-Star system and tells you what repeater they are on. It has a list of the D-Star repeaters in the U.S., so you can easily find one that's close to you when you get your new ICOM radio. Another website is dstarinfo.com. This is a major resource for all things D-Star related. It has complete D-Star repeater lists and maps for the entire D-Star worldwide system. It has D-Star repeater files that are broken down into the areas. The repeater list files are used for uploading directly to your D-Star radio, like the ICOM, The ICOM 92A, thank you. You would need an external cable and some software, but once you get those files off the internet, your radio is programmed. Also, there's the PAPA system, the Pocket Auto Patch Association. This is where I hang out. It's a system of 300 amateur radio operators, 22 interlinked analog and D-Star repeaters from Santa Barbara in the north to Chula Vista in the south and Palm Desert in the east. If you have a question on D-Star operation, find one of those 22 linked repeaters or go to www.papasys.com and drop them an email. And I guarantee you'll have an answer before you can even find the radio owner's operation manual from the pile of debris on your desk. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about one of the nets. There is a D-Star Ham Nation net that takes place right after the Ham Nation net. It's live on Reflector 14 Module A. And also, there's a PAPA system net, which is held every Tuesday, 8 p.m., which is linked on Reflector 12B. So with that, I don't know if anybody's listening on the PAPA system. We're going to try and see if we have people here. And in fact, we do. So if you're listening on the PAPA system right now, maybe you can give us your call sign. Go ahead.
Ted and Jim are still.
So as you can hear, it sounds identical to an FM repeater. There's almost no loss in quality. Occasionally, we hear a little bit of digital chatter, which they call the R2D2 or digital. That's just the way the system goes. But it's a really excellent system to try and get to. ICOM makes fantastic radios that allow you to get onto that system. So I encourage everybody to get onto D-Star and try it at least once. And now back to you.
All right, super duper. And I look forward to getting some things going here on D-Star before too long also. And join you guys out there in the radio land with little short antennas. That's wonderful. We appreciate you coming on and doing that. And glad that Gordo got you back on the air. He can sometimes be a real menace, you know, like that. Don't let him trance.
Every time we transmit with a handheld, we take ourselves off. So I did it. I transmitted. I'll take full credit for that one. But Julian figured.
Yeah, but see, you were able to get back on in a hurry. That's good.
That's it.
All right. Well, we better wind this down because I think they have some special programming coming up here and some news about some very important things. So we better make way for that. It's really been fun. Glad to be back. And All I can say is go Cardinals. I'll see if they can do this one more time. And George, are you you getting set up for your printed circuit board next week? Is that what we're doing next week?
Yes, and I am. I scrubbed it with steel wool this afternoon, and I might even start shooting sometime after the show tonight. We did have an EchoLink update here. Mike, KB1, UGS in Boston, says that we can use a repeater up there to run an EchoLink net tonight since Tommy is out. And the node number is 490278. That's 490278.
All right.
And for HF, we're on 7204 as well as 14, as well as 14, I forget where, but just tune around. Oh, here we are, 14, 82. Hang on, I got it. 14282. I got it. So
got it.
See you there.
Okay. Good enough. And I appreciate everybody being here, especially the Boy Scouts. That was really something for Doug and Carrie. They pulled that off in just a couple of hours. And we're happy to bring you a little news about the Boy Scouts. So, 7-3, everybody. We will see you right back here. I'm not sure. We should be on at the regular time next week. This was special because of this news event coming up here in a few minutes. So, thanks so much. We'll see you on the air, a little high, a little low, but we'll be somewhere in there and have some fun on amateur radio. That's what this is all about here on good old Ham Nation. Thanks so much. 73.
73. 73.